Father, we just thank you for the song service. And I thank you, Father God, you told me to play Run, Devil, Run, then drop the balloons. And Father God, perfect timing as usual. Now, Father, I'm just asking as your people give into your bosom, bless those that don't have to give and bless those that do have to give. And Father God, multiply it back to them 100-fold. And Father, we just thank you. We praise your name of Jesus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I hope that loosed you up a little bit. He told me to play Run, Devil, Run. I said, now where is that going to fit into the praise and worship? He said, do it at the end and do the balloons. So that's what we did. Amen. I have to tell you that this morning, you know, when I went to sit down, God said to me, you're just like Peter. You want to cut their ears off. Yeah, I was saying you need to get it together. And he told me I'm just like Peter. Well, you know, better be like Peter than nobody, right? All right, we got all the balloons up now. They were pretty good balloons. We used them the last time, and they just stuck them in a bag, and they didn't even, the air didn't even go out of them. That's pretty neat. Must be Holy Ghost air in them. Tonight I'm going to talk about the shifting and changing that God has been doing in the churches all over the world. And Romans 8:37 says, Father God, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you for this teaching. I thank you, Father God, for those that came out to sit in your presence, sit at your table, and Father, to glean from your word what you're trying to have us glean. Let your anointing rest heavily upon these words, Father, and let your angelic host be here to minister to your people. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was telling a few people that I can't get an anointing for this revival. Excuse me. I stay up all night seeking God's face, just trying to get the anointing on me, but I don't feel it. But I was thinking, you know, before when we had revival all the time, we would come in and sing, and during the praise and worship, the anointing would fall, and God would do great and mighty miracles. And then I'd give a 45-minute sermon. And one of the ushers used to say, why do you always have to preach after God moves? So I said, now what I'm doing is we're trying to do praise and worship, and I'm just preaching, and y'all laying the floor for a half hour. That's not enough for me. It's just not enough for me. And I'm not going to settle for that. There's so much more that God wants to do for us. There really is. And if I have to stay up every night during this revival, I'm going to find out what the problem is, right? I mean, you probably don't feel like what I feel, but this is what I feel, all right? So let's talk about the shifting and changing that God has been doing. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God has spoken and said that there has been another shift in the Spirit, and because of those mighty winds, waves, and shakings, we are marching forward this year as more than conquerors. All right. Now I'm going to stop there. Have you heard about the tornado or whatever went through Mississippi and Georgia and all those people were killed? Was that this morning that happened? And all that flooding and everything, you know, and here we sit, you know, not praising God for anything. You know, we're just sort of complaining here and there. And those poor people don't even have a home, some of them, and 12 of them are dead this morning. It totally leveled the university, you know, college cleared to the ground. Every building in the place was leveled. There's a lot of destruction going. And here we sat, oblivious of what's going around about us. And we should just thank God that we can even get in our car and come to church, you know. So there's a whole lot of things that we don't know is going on. And it's right here in the United States. And we just need to be just thanking God each and every day that he is and we are. You know, and that he does take care of us, and that he's always with us, and he's always leading, guiding, and directing us. Excuse me. All right, so because of everything that's going on, God said we're going to go into this new year, which we're already in, more than conquerors. And Exodus 33:21 says, and the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. And God was talking to Moses. Let's read that again. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And God has been telling us there is a place in him that he wants us to stand. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. And God's been promising us he's going to put us in the cleft of the rock. And will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. As the mighty winds, waves, and shakings came, you know, in the past couple of years, God asked us to hide in the cleft of the rock, and he would protect us there. Isn't that what he said? He said, when all the destruction is going on all around about you, and the darkness is there, I will protect my own. These things had to come to loosen the grip of the world on God's chosen people. These shakings and everything had to come to loosen the grip of the world on God's chosen people. And John 17:14 tells us we are in the world, but not of the world. Let's read that. I have given, Jesus speaking to God, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus is saying, don't take them up out of the world. Let them remain in the world, but keep them covered so they don't become part of the world. As we live in the world, it is so easy to get caught up in the worldly avenues. But God desires to give his people heavenly visions and heavenly encounters of who he is. And I am so waiting for one of you to come and tell me that you had a heavenly vision. Visit. And I'm just waiting to tell you all I had one. Amen. Because I'm going to get so excited I won't be able to stand myself, won't you? When you have one of those heavenly visions. Just like Moses who saw his glory on the holy mountain. All right, so let's start again. As we live in the world, it is so easy to get caught up in the worldly avenues. But God desires to give his people heavenly visions and heavenly encounters of who he is, just like Moses who saw his glory on the holy mountain. You know, God said, as I did for Moses, I'm going to do for you. Well, come on, God. You know, I want that visitation from God. I've had some, but I want different things. We should never be satisfied with what we had. And God said, never be satisfied with half. You always want the whole. He said, you settle for second best, I want you to have the very best. And so if we're going to do the greater works, there's so much more that God wants to show us. You know, so much more that he wants to, when we go up, take us up into heaven and show us so much heavenly stuff. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to watch Kat Kerr anymore because I get disgusted that she's up and down there all the time. And we can't even go one time. No, I'm not disgusted. But, you know, it's okay, God. So you gave her pink hair and you take her to heaven all the time. Now, come on. What's so unique and different about her? Why can't you give us, I don't care, you have to give us pink hair, but why can't you take us to heaven too? See? You know, we have to be zealous for the things of God. We just can't sit around and say, oh, well, that happened to them, you know, big whoop. But we have to be zealous for the things of God, and we have to desire to do the greater things, you know, and go up into the heavenly places. Instead of us sitting here in this mundane world just ho-humming around, let's start, you know, start desiring the greater things of God. But during all this, we must understand that the winds did come. The waves did come, and yes, even the shakings did come to the body of Christ all over the world. But during all this, God has caused his true church to come forth as a glorious bride, one without spot or wrinkle. This church bride will come forth in God's brilliance. All right? She will walk in God's glory, and she shall speak his words of truth to the world and all its systems. Now, I've been listening to some of your prophetic words that God's given you, and you're supposed to be going there. Come on. She will walk in God's glory, and she shall speak his words of truth to the world and all its systems. As we walk through this next season, we will be shocked at God's presence, as it will be well pronounced in his people. And in each of us here today. Now, God's been telling me this is going to happen, but I can't wait for it to happen. And, you know, we've been waiting a long time, haven't we? Now, I want it to happen. We will see that God has placed a rich deposit of himself down within our spirits. Amen. Affliction will reveal God's glory in our lives, just as offense reveals the heart. Affliction will reveal God's glory in our lives, just as offense reveals the heart. We all know that no one likes affliction, but we have been well prepared, and God will manifest his glory throughout the earth in a whole new dimension through each one of his children. So all the junk we've been going through is for a purpose, and that is to make us vessels of honor that will carry his glory. So maybe there's something in each one of us still that the shaking didn't get out, and he has to still do a little bit more shaking in order to get it out so we can be glory carriers. This is a season where God's love will come forth at a whole new level. How long has he been teaching us about love now? Psalm 133:1, a song of accents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. God, David said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, in unity. There's still not unity in the Lighthouse Church. Therefore, God can't bless the way he wants to bless. We have to come to grips with this, guys. I'm the shepherd, and I see what's going on, and we are still not in unity. There's still too much grumbling to yourself in your homes or talking about it on the streets or wherever. We have to come in total and complete unity. Do you know why Kenneth Copeland has such a big ministry? He wouldn't allow one complaint to be done in his church. If you complained, you were out. You had to walk in total and complete unity. You had to agree with their vision, or else you couldn't be part of their ministry. And look what God has done for them. There's no strife, no disunity anywhere, not in their children, nowhere, because they don't allow it. You're understanding this? Each one of you, individually, you're going to have to not allow it in you. And if you say, you, myself, you're not going to get in disunity, you're not going to walk in strife, you're not going to gossip, you're not going to backbite, and you get your own self straightened out, then whenever you're around, you'll bring total unity in the body of Christ. And so you have to get it out of yourself first. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So what does he say we have to have? A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. There's too much pride in the body of Christ. Everybody is me, 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 me. I can do it better than you can do it. Nobody can do it as good as I can do it. You know, I hear that all the time, and I get so sick of that. There's always somebody can do something better than you can. And that is God. He does everything a whole lot better than you'd ever think about doing it. And when you have that attitude, you're not in unity. And God can't pour his glory in you. It would kill you. I looked at your girls and I'm thinking, just like the kids, they think, well, I can be a better parent than they are. You just wait till you grow up. You'll find out what kind of parent you are. You'll be just like your parents because of what you just said. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is God speaking. All right. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Then he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him, you know, with any one of us who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive. Why? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God will abide with you if you become humble. Isaiah 66:1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. See, God said, you can't do a thing for me because I made it all. You see that? He said, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, you know, the person, and that is on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. You have to have a holy fear of the Lord, or it's not going to work. God has been breaking his people's hearts towards him, and a great move of repentance and forgiveness has been released upon the face of the earth. This is God's heart, and it will show forth his love and mercy. He's been trying to get our hearts broken so we'll look to him for everything that we need and love him instead of ourselves or the world. This is God's heart, and it will show forth his love and mercy. God has been saying this repentance will be done in the highest governmental offices and all the way down into living rooms across this world. I'll tell you right now, America has a lot to repent for, because poor President Trump, he can't even blink right. I've never heard anybody being so ridiculed in all my life is what he is. I wonder who's going to talk about the way he breathes now. There's going to have to be a whole lot of repentance going on when they realize all of a sudden that this is God's doing, and watch God work through this man to get America where he wants it to be. A whole lot of repentance is going on, will be going on. God has and still is bringing a vast brokenness to his people. Repentance has and will continue to release his love and his glory. You know, every day if you stumble, you need to repent. Every day if you have a wrong thought, you need to immediately repent. Or if you say something you shouldn't say, you should immediately repent. Why? To release his love and his glory. Matthew 21:44 says, and whoever falls on this stone, Jesus, will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Remember, I told you this morning that God said it. People who in the church who he's been trying to get to repent for years and years and haven't repented, now they're not going to be able to repent, because they're going to have to pay for their spirit of rebellion. And he said they're going to have to pay for reap what they've sown. I have to get that right. And he said they're going to go clear down to the dirt once again, and then he'll allow them to repent and he'll raise them up. Now, I wouldn't want to be one of those people. I really wouldn't. The scripture said, and whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. That made me think about that, what God prophesied. So you wouldn't fall on the stone. In other words, you wouldn't repent. So now God is falling on you. Are you understanding this? Do you know what's going to be happening in the houses of God when they realize what's going on? It's going to be total chaos. And people in the body of Christ are going to be running to and fro, not understanding what's going on. So God has given you guys insight to what's going on, well, me too, so that we can help them understand where they're at and why they got there, how they got there. Okay? As you continue to break yourself on God, the rock, your life will be a sweet fragrance of perfume before his throne of grace. In other words, as you keep going before God and repenting, your life will be a sweet fragrance of perfume before his throne of grace. God's people, we're talking about God's people now, not the world. God's people will be a broken people. Broken in heart towards God and his purposes. Jesse Duplantis, his grandmother always prayed for him. And he'd say, don't talk about God in front of me. I'm enjoying my life. He was a mess. And one day he was sitting in the bathroom. And he's sorry, God, I give up. God fell on him. And he repented. And look what God's doing to that man. Powerful. Powerful. How many times is he going to heaven? He finally repented. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. 1 Peter 2:6-8, therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. He's talking about Jesus there. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumbled being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. You're going to be messed up if you don't repent. See that? You know, I really don't care, you know, what you've done in your lifetime. Get over it. Get over it and move on. So if you have to get rid of the demons in your cells and molecules and everything else, do that. But keep moving on. Don't stay there. Keep moving on. You cannot go back and undo what you did. Everybody in this room, including me, has done some things in their lifetime they wish they had never done. I can't go back and undo them. You can't go back and undo them. So we might as well just let God have them and keep moving. And enjoy life. Well, you don't know what I did. I don't really care what you did. You know, if you hurt people, well, you know, you're going to give all that. You're going to have to give all that to God. Don't walk around with like a martyr with a stone hung around your neck because you hurt somebody. And I'm not saying that lightly, but I'm saying so many people do that. We've all hurt somebody in our lifetime, everybody in this room, knowingly and unknowingly. We have to let it go and we have to move on. When you can do that, then you're on your way to being set free from all bondages. Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. See, God said that Jesus is a stumbling block and an offense. Do you understand that sometimes you're a stumbling block and an offense to somebody that doesn't know the Lord? You offend them just by being in their presence because you have the Spirit of God in you. And you're a stumbling block. They just can't understand your God. I don't think they understand their God, to tell you the truth. But they can't understand your God and they can't stand to be in the presence of your God. So you offend them. Why do you think the world is offended with Trump? It's because the world has turned dark and the Spirit of God that's in him offends them. Are you understanding this? When you all used to always say, I can offend people real easily and not even know it. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God that's in me offends those who have darkness still in them. Each one, you need to understand it about yourselves. I tell you this so you can understand that's what you're going through. It's nothing you've done. It's the darkness in them can't stand the light in you, and it offends them. And they'll say all manner of evil about you. Are you understanding this? Romans, we already read it, didn't I? This is also a time of separation and of separating. Why? Because there will be those who will choose to take up offense. How long did God have me teach on offenses? A long time. And those who will, because there will be those who will choose to take up offense and those who will allow their hearts to be hardened towards God. Does God want this? No. This breaks God's heart. Why? Because they will truly miss out on the greatest times of revival in history of the church. Because God's been telling me over and he said the church has never seen in history what I'm about to do. And he keeps telling me, tell the people not to miss this move that I'm taking them into. If you don't move with God, if you don't repent, if you don't get yourself right with God, you're going to stand back and probably beat your head on the wall saying, why didn't I do what God told me to do, when you see the great mighty things that God's going to do through the church. Amen. Offense reveals the heart. Let offenses go. Quit being offended by everything. Let them go. All they cause are stumbling blocks for you and those around you. Offense reveals the heart. Let offenses go. All they cause are stumbling blocks for you and those around you. Choose to forgive and then love. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. God will help you as you pray through it. Did you ever think that God deliberately put somebody in front of you to offend you, to show you that you have the spirit of offense inside of you so you can get it out? If you really watch your life, you'll see that God will place you in circumstances to really make them ugly, dark things that's inside of you come to the surface and manifest themselves. And what you're supposed to do when they manifest themselves is go get help and get rid of them. Not say they don't exist. Because I see many people manifest, say, there's nothing wrong with me. Well, right there, you're a liar, so you have a lying spirit. Amen? And you have to get delivered from that lying spirit. The body of Christ has to understand, you know, the blind lead the blind and they both fall in a ditch. If you're not right, you can't lead somebody else down the right path. If you're not walking in holiness, you can't lead somebody else into holiness. If you're not righteous, you can't lead somebody else into righteousness. You have to work on yourself first and get yourself together. Then ask God to allow you to help others. No show of hands, but how many of you knew God said, don't get married until you each get delivered? You didn't listen to God and you have been in a mess. So you shouldn't have got married before while you was both messed up because you couldn't help each other. Your spirits were warring against each other. I literally wake up and laugh at night thinking about the time we were doing deliverance on that person. And they said, oh, you want a part of me? And they ran you other against the wall. I lay in bed laughing. The baby wakes up and says, Mom, what are you doing? I mean, I can't get over that. It's just, I don't know why God has that ingrained in my spirit right now. You know, two spirits fighting, and he was doing a deliverance, and the one he was doing deliverance on decided he was going to, the spirit in him said, I'm going to get you. You're trying to get me out of him. You want a piece of me? Well, here I am. Grabbed poor Brett by the neck and threw him up against the wall by the shirt of me, you know? I literally do wake up laughing about that. I wake the baby and said, what are you doing? And I'm trying to quit laughing because once I get laughing, sometimes I can't stop. I don't know why God has me there. You know, so you know, it could be you got a spirit in you and your friend has a spirit in her and all of a sudden one day they're going to decide that one of them's going to decide that they're bigger than you. She's going to decide her spirit's bigger than her. You know, the one in her is bigger than you and that spirit's going to pick a fight with you. You have to understand it. Okay, now each one of us have a demon and one of them's decided I'm the big dog and I'm just going to beat her up. You have to go get delivered from that. Amen. Come on. I lost my place. All right. This season we have crossed over into is not a thing to dread. You know, God took us over across the Jordan. This will be a time that you will bask in God's presence. God has spoken and said that the hard times make your faith thrive. Should have. And will also cause you to need one another to survive. I'm sorry, if you think you can be the lone ranger out there, you're not going to survive. You need people with like spirit around about you. You need those who love you and have compassion for you. They can pray for you and tell you, come to you and say, hey, you know, there's really some things going on that shouldn't be going on, and we would really like to help you get rid of those things. Amen? I've tried that with some people, not me. Well, then you just go ahead and have your little demons and have yourself a ball because I have other things I have to do. I can't sit and baby you, right? This seems harsh, but these words are not spoken harshly. So I said, God has spoken and said that the hard times make your faith thrive and will also cause you to need one another to survive. Why do you think the devil fights? I don't know why I keep looking at you two and getting an example. Why do you think that the devil fights so hard marriages? You know, if married people would just understand, you're so dumb, you married people. If you would just understand that if you would get in unity, The enemy could not work the way he does in your lives, in your homes, in your children. But as long as you're not in unity, there's a door wide open, and he can come in and do whatever he wants to do, mess with your finances, mess with your mind, and you're saying, duh, what's going on in my life? You have not yet loved your wife like the word tells you to. You have not yet come into total and complete unity. You have not become one spirit. Therefore, the enemy, he has free rule and reign. You men have not become the priest in your household. You're too busy having perverted dreams, feeling sorry for yourself. You're not a spiritual head whenever you're doing all that stuff. You've got to take control of your vessel. You can't let it control you any longer. And I'm talking to everybody right now, not just men, but everybody. You have to take control of your vessel so that you can be the thing that God has called you for, to be a priest, a mother, a father, whatever it is. All right, this seems harsh, but these words are not spoken harshly. I'm not Peter right now. I'm not trying to cut your ear off, all right? He was so funny when he said that to me, then had me prophesy to somebody. Can you believe that? I couldn't even get over the shock he even said that to me. Here he is speaking to me. They are spoken with these words are spoken with tenderness and mercy towards you. God loves you. This is why he's teaching you this tonight. They are spoken so you can continue preparing your heart. They are spoken so you can continue seeking God's face and know that he will always be with you. Let's read this again. These are not harsh words. They are spoken with tenderness and mercy towards you. They are spoken so you can continue preparing your heart. They are spoken so you can continue seeking God's face and know that he will always be with you. God has promised that he will never leave nor forsake us, and he cannot lie. God is God. He cannot leave. He will not leave us. His word says he won't. Why do we act like he does? You know, a couple times years ago when I was really messed up, I said, God, are you even there? You know? Or he said, daughter, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I said, where's the end? That's the way I said it to. Where's the end? All I see is darkness. He was with me all that time. And he told me, anytime I have you go through a valley, I'm holding your hand, walking through that valley with you. I never let you in there all by yourself. I finally got that through my thick skull and down into my spirit. And now I don't care what I go through, I know he's with me in it. So I want you to get it through your thick skull and then let it go down in your spirit and understand that no matter what God has you going through, he's right there with you. But God, no, but God's. I thought you said, he did. You know, he's there with you. Come on. Matthew 22:36 says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know why that doesn't work? You don't love your own self. So you can't love your neighbor, right? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Why can't you love yourself? Why can't you forgive yourself? Why can't you forgive yourself? Do you enjoy the misery that you put yourself through by not being able to forgive yourself? I just told you, we've all done things we wish we wouldn't have done. We have to forgive ourselves and move on. And just make a covenant with yourself. You're not going to be that stupid ever again. You know, make a promise to yourself. I'm not going to go around that mountain again. Amen. And then don't go around it. So keep preparing your hearts. Prepare for his sovereign move. It will be surrounded with love, forgiveness, and unity, this move that God's taken us into. God's body will move with love, honor, and respect for one another as never before. God's body is learning to love deeply. Tongue in cheek. Read that again. So keep preparing your hearts, prepare for his sovereign move. It will be surrounded with love, forgiveness, and unity. God's body will move with love, honor, and respect for one another. And you also have to respect yourself first, guys. You do. And you have to be walking in integrity in order for you to pour it into somebody else. Respect for one another as never before. God's body is learning to love deeply. I wish that was really true. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, let it lie. Because the body of Christ is not learning to love deeply. Well, I am. I just told you if the shoe fits, put it off. It doesn't, leave it alone, didn't I? I'm making a broad statement here. And until we learn to love deeply, we're never going to carry His glory. What did God ask Bob Jones when he went to heaven that one time? He said, ask my people, did you learn to love? That's the question He's going to ask you when you stand before Him on Judgment Day. Did you learn to love? And if you didn't, guess what? No pearly gates. Because love is the foundation. If you can't love, then you don't have a sure foundation. Amen? It's just that simple, guys. It's not a complicated thing. And I look at people and I thought, why are you so arrogant and ignorant? There's no love in arrogance. Do you realize that there's no love in arrogance? And when you're arrogant, there's no love in you. And when you're full of pride, there's no love in you because you're too caught up in yourself. You haven't yet learned to love like Christ loved. You haven't learned to love through suffering. You haven't learned to love through rejection. You haven't learned to love through pain and misery. God's word says, love those who spitefully use you. Doesn't it say that? And it says, love unconditionally. Remember when we went through all those teachings? At that point, God was having me go through some hard times. And He said, you have to love that person unconditionally. You and I wanted to box her head up and send it somewhere. But God said, you have to love them unconditionally, because if you don't, they're going to be destroyed. It's your love that's going to bring them forth. And sure enough, that's what happened. It was my love that brought them forth. Because they can't love their own self. They're so, you know, they're so upset with what they have done that they can't love their own self. They don't feel worthy of that love. But yet as I continued to love them, God was able to remove that stumbling block, and He was able to see that they are worth loving. Do you know how many people sitting in here tonight feel like they aren't worth loving? More than I care to count. Every one of us in here are worth loving. We're God's creation, and we all made mistakes, and we're still making mistakes. We're all worth loving. If people can just get that down in their spirit, that you are worth something, that you are God's chosen child, that He formed you and placed you in your mother's womb, I think that's awesome. Amen. That His hands held me at one point and formed me and then placed me in my mother's womb. He formed me. Some man didn't. He did. And I love men, so I didn't say that arrogantly. But, you know, a lot of people say, men say, well, I'm the father. Are you really? Are you really? I don't believe so. My word says you're not. Because God said all the babies come from heaven, and He gives them to us so we can bring up in His ways. But men puff their chest out, and they're so ignorant and arrogant. I fathered that child. No, you didn't, you dummy. Read your word. God did. Amen? Come on. And you women, don't feel so proud. Oh, I have a baby in here. Well, you thank God that God chose your vessel to place the baby in. Come on. We've got this thing so backwards. We don't even know which ends up sometimes. We were talking about love. Did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? God's body is moving into 2 Chronicles 5:11. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. Unity. And the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jephthah with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. You know, they did this in all one accord, unity. Because they did that in unity and one accord, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Because everybody was in unity, everybody was in one mind and one accord. Somebody once there said, well, they don't know how to adjust the sound system. Well, you don't either, dummy, or it would be perfected. Well, I don't like the songs we sing. Well, then you go to another church. Because I'm not going to change song service so God tells me. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. That's not unity. That's strife. That's division. But whenever we come in 2 Chronicles 5:11 through 14, when we become that, then we're going to see the glory of God fall in our midst. Not until. Not until. And you husbands, you need to understand that until you decide you're going to really become the priest of your household and not a, I don't know what to call you. But anyhow, when you decide to become the priest in your household, love your wife and your children, then you're going to see your household straighten up, but not until then. When you quit walking in your pride and your arrogance, thinking you're all that and then some, as long as you're walking in it, your glory is not going to fall. You're not going to be blessed. So it's up to you, men, right now I'm talking to men, how is your household going to be? Is it going to be unified? Is it going to be full of love and respect and dignity? The kids watch how you treat your wife, you know, dummy. And so you're going to not treat her right, and you're going to gawk around and stare at other women, and that means you don't like love your wife. Then your kids aren't going to love their mother either. If you show disrespect to her, they're going to show disrespect for her too. You're the father. I don't care if you didn't father him anyhow, God did. But you're the father. You're the one that's supposed to be raising these children up. You're supposed to be setting an example. Well, if my wife would just know, man, if you would just. You're just looking for an excuse for an out. You need to stop it. And you need to become the priest in your household. And you need to love your wife. I don't think the women should have been marching against Trump. I think they should have been marching against their husbands. You know? Because if they'd been treated right at home, they wouldn't be out there looking for some other junk to carry on about. I mean that. Because really, if you're happy at home, you're not going to be looking for all kind of dark things to do. And you women, straighten up. Be the wife God wants you to be. I never used the word submit, and I never will. Because when I was first born again and went to this church, I heard submit, 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 submit. And see, I didn't know my word. And so I went home one day and I said, God, what is this submit thing they're always talking about? He said, daughter, if the husband would love their wife the way they ought, and the wife would love their husband the way they ought, the word submit would never be heard. It's a control thing. So don't come to me and say submit. I'll tell you to get your love walk right. Because that's where the problem is. And you men, you think you're so all that, and then somehow, how come women don't want you? Once they know you, how come they leave you? Because you realize what you first portrayed wasn't you. That was a facade. And then when they get to lay in your bed with you or get to really know you, they understand who you really are. Then they don't want no part of you. Because if you were all that, and then some, they couldn't wait to be with you. That's where the rubber meets the road. Shifting and changing. God's been doing shifting and changing for a long time. Now, when I'm talking about marriages, I'm looking at Brother Chris, I'm looking at Brother Brett. And I know neither one are where they should be. So you guys get it together, or I'm going to make you sit outside the church holding a sign up, I have to be a better husband. I have to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Don't you think that would be appropriate? Say amen. Say amen. Yeah. I don't know how Ethan acts, so I can't pick on him tonight. He said, thank God. Shifting and changing. I don't know when God's going to quit shifting and changing. I don't know when he's going to walk away from you, because he's been at this for a long time. And he did say he already withdrew his grace. But as I see him, as I hear him talk to each one of you, he still has his grace upon you. And I don't understand why, because I'm Peter right now wanting to cut your ear off. But God's grace is still with you. But how long is it going to stay? Honesty, truth. You men, I'm just here. I was going to say, how many women have you thought you loved in your lifetime, men? How many women have you laid with and told them you loved them? You don't know what real love is, or you wouldn't have done all that. That's lust. That's perversion in its utmost. You need to get your love walk right, and you need to quit judging your wife, because you're really the problem. They are not. I don't care if you like that or not. That's just what God told me to tell you. But I can say amen to that, because I see what's going on, and I see that the men are always blaming the wife. And really, the men, you know, you're supposed to be the priest. You're supposed to be the one that's leading. Well, the altar's open. God said there has to be a whole lot of repentance going on here tonight with men and women both. Because you have not yet learned to walk in love or unity, either one. So if you're going to come to the altar tonight, it's because God's going to touch you and give you an anointing to walk in. Are you going to tell us something, or are you just coming to the altar? You know, you married men, you're supposed to be an example to Aaron and Adam. And if Aaron and Adam, if I was you, I wouldn't follow some of these men. I would keep my eyes on God. I'm being honest. You know, being totally honest. Change me, Lord. Make me into the vessel of honor you want me to be. Let me commit myself to you tonight to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Let me quit judging my wife and look inwardly to myself and judge what I'm doing wrong. Then when I get all that cleaned up, I won't even judge nobody else. I'll just walk in the love that you called me to walk in. That should be your prayer right now. God's on the move. Are you going to be moving with God? It's a question that's before you tonight. You know, we say we have a sign up revival, but you know what? Revival's in you, in your heart. God's trying to change you so he can drop the glory on you. And if he can't change you, well, then you won't be a glory carrier. Let all the glory go to God right now. Let him do what he does best, and that's change. Change. You want to get a microphone, Nancy, please? Those of you who are on the floor, God's moving among you. He's taken out that which is not of him and placing in you the anointing that destroys every yoke. I want you to go back there and minister to those two ladies back there in that chair, if you would, please.